a series of speech. Remember, six people spoke to Job that the book of Job talks about. The first one is the messengers. They gave him the bad news. The second one is his wife, cursed God and died. The third one, the third, fourth, and fifth one are his friends. And the sixth one is God. In Job chapter 8, we see the start of the second concourse of his second friend, Bildad. And he's going to try to prove that Job is a secret sinner. And this guy is a real stinker, if I could use that word. He is a hypocrite, and he's using tradition. And his language is a lot rougher than the first friend, Eliphaz. Now, the chapter is broken up into three parts. Job chapter 8, verses 1 to 7, and Bildad is doing his best to rebuke Job. And then in Job chapter 8 through 19, the hypocrites will be destroyed. And then Bildad applies God's just dealing to Job. Since Job is a secret sinner, Bildad implies that God is dealing correctly with Job. And we'll start out with Job chapter 8, verse 1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "How long wilt thou speak these things? And how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind? Doth God pervert judgment, or does the Almighty pervert justice?" Now we look at this this first three verses, and I don't know why Bildad thought it was his turn to speak, because Job had just been done speaking. And in chapter 8, verse 2, you know, "How long will thou speak these things, and how long shall the words of thy mouth be like a strong wind?" What is the slang word? He just called Job a windbag. Shut up. You're all talk. And then in Job chapter 8, verse 3, says, "Does God pervert judgment, or does the Almighty pervert justice?" Now, I look at Job's answer to Eliphaz, and Job never asserted that God perverted judgment, and Job never said that the Almighty perverted judgment. Yet, Bildad is asserting this. Job had not asserted this. So, this guy is evil. Now, in Romans chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, it says, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be just in thy sayings, and might overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteousness who takes his vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world?" So in Romans chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, it kind of answers these questions. Does God pervert judgment? No. And does the Almighty pervert judgment? No. In verse 4, which is a very low blow, he essentially tells Job in chapter 8, verse 4, that your kids were rotten and God wiped them out. And it says, "If thy children have sinned against them, and he has cast them away for their transgression." Now, in Job chapter 1, verse 5, we find out what Job did. What was his daily routine? Was it to get up, read the Chicago Tribune, have a cup of coffee, and turn on some music? No. When Job arose, according to Job chapter 1, verse 5, and it says, "And it was so when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them. He rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Job worried about his kids, and he offered burnt sacrifices for them. Now, in Job chapter 8, verse 5, it says, "If thou would seek unto God betimes to make the supplication to the Almighty." Now, what is Bildad saying? Well, just like it talks about in Matthew chapter 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. You know, that is true when it was written. So what is Bildad saying? You haven't asked God to confess your sins. And as far as we know, they were sacrificing to the Lord for their sins, but the law was not on the scene yet. But there were things that God had man do. Now, in the record before all this happened to Job, that he lost all his things, he lost his most of his family, and he lost his health, I didn't see Job asking for anything. In fact, the best commentary we have on Job is in a few verses later than Job chapter 1, verse 5, and then Job chapter 1, verse 8, and the Lord said unto Satan, has not considered my servant Jordan to be none like him on the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Job had his head on right. Job feared God. Job escheweth evil. He, for on the record, what it shows us, never asked God for anything. So what is Bildad trying to say here? Well, ask him to restore your health and your family and your sheep and your camel and your oxen, you know, because obviously you're a secret sinner and God did this to you. And we discussed that 2 weeks ago. When we look at the record, when the messengers said all these things happened, and the three friends, his wife, the messengers, all blamed God for this. But the record says God didn't do it. Satan did it. They're blaming the wrong person. In Job chapter 8, verse 6, it says, if thou, meaning Job, this is Bildad saying, were pure and upright, surely now he would awake for thee and make thy habitation of thy righteousness. You know, it's good advice, but considering the couple verses before that, you know, Paul almost says the same thing in 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that every man pray everywhere, pray always, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Pray without ceasing. Good advice then, good advice now. And then in chapter 8, verse 7, it says, though thou beginning was small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Now we know that the book of Job almost mirrors the last 42 weeks of the seven-year tribulation. And it does happen at the end that he is increased. But he says, again, that Job's children were killed because of their sins. He asserted that if Job were pure, if Job were upright, if Job would have confessed his sin, God would pardon him and make him a new home. Job would be formerly unholy, and then after that, Job would move God if he confessed his sins, and God would give him righteousness, and he would make him prosper again. Then, he almost says in this verse, though thy beginning be small, yet thy latter end should greatly increase. Well, you messed up, but if you keep doing, if you keep praying, if you keep asking, you'll get more and more and more. I wonder where some of these preachers get that stuff. And that's what Bildad saying to Job. Now, in verse 9, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. 2 weeks ago, we went into that and we covered all the verses in Job that talk about how swift your life is. Yeah, it's like a vapor. It's like a one weave of the cloth. One swipe with the weed whacker today. It's nothing. And you got to remember, when Job was written, these people had a long lifespan. It wasn't 4 score and 10, and by reason of strength 10 more. These people lived for hundreds and hundreds of years. And Bildad says, their life is nothing but a shadow. In verse 10 it says, shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? Now we know, or most scholars believe, that Job was the first oldest book in the Bible. Now Bildad in Job chapter 8 verse 10, he's going to say, we have some traditions here. Shall not they teach thee and they tell thee in other words in their heart? So he's starting to know, well, what did Job know and what did Bildad know? And he's bringing up to this argument from tradition. You know, he's going to below talk about a plant and how one flourishes and the other doesn't. Now, they personally lived a long time, and this enabled them to acquire a vast store of wisdom. And then Bildad must have been older than Job, because he's telling them, you youngster, you know, the brevity of life is nothing but a shadow. You need to consult our traditions. No, what he should have done is go back. It isn't God plus tradition. It's all God. And we know that these aged men and wise men spoke out of their heart and their intentions were good, but the focus should be on God and not their tradition. Their focus should be on God, not their intelligence. Their focus should be on God and not their tradition. Now, he picks up this theme about tradition using a plant. Can the rush grow up without mirror? Can the flag grow without water? In verse 11, while it is yet in its greatness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So he's telling Job that you may have been right. I know at one time you were rich, but you were cut down, just like this particular plant is. And he continues this theme in verse 13. He says, so are the paths of all that forget God. Semicolon. So what is he saying? Job, you forgot God. You were too busy running around looking at the war footage on TV and you forgot about God. Something like that. You know, and it says the hypocrite's hope shall perish. So what is he telling Job, this Bildad? He says, you're a hypocrite. And I don't know what you were trusting in before, but it wasn't in the tradition. Now, it's funny, or it's a sad commentary on the world in Psalm chapter 9, 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell in all nations that forget God. And we look at that, and what it was, the worst sentence that God ever gave to mankind besides sending them to a lake of fire or to hell to pay for your sins. And that's, he gave them up. He gave them up. He gave them up, it says three times in Romans chapter 1 and 2. God gave them up. Well, what's going to happen to you when you go without God? What happens to nations that go without God? His book, his son, the wicked shall be turned into hell in all the nations that forget God. Going to spend eternity in hell. Verse 14, whose hope shall be cut off and whose trust shall be a spider's web. Trust in a spider's web? What could you possibly want to trust in a spider's web? What's in spider webs? You know, a spider, it bites you. You could die. You trust in something that causes you to die. You'll be cut off. It entangles you, just like religion. Just like religion and tradition do, it entangles you and you die. You're cut off and it dies. It looks sweet. It looks good. It looks pretty. You're minding your own business and it lures you in. It wraps you up. Then it sucks you and then you die. Now, in verses 15 through 18, the theme continues. He shall lean upon his house, but it shall not stand. He shall hold it fast, but it shall not endure. He is green before the sun, and his branch soweth forth the garden. His roots are wrapped about the heap, and seeth the places of stone. If he destroy him from his place, then he shall deny him, saying, I have not seen thee. You know, just like it says in Psalms 92, verse 7, when the wicked spring as grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Bildad says, Job is evil. He is one of the grass. He may have flourished, but now he's being destroyed forever because he forgot God. And that can be the most further thing from the truth. Because as we open up this lesson, it says God's commentary on Job was that he was an upright man and escheweth evil, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. God said Job was a perfect man. God said Job was an upright man. God gave the adjective that Job feared him, and God gave the adjective that he escheweth evil. So Bildad didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't know what was going on. He thinks God is doing this to him because Job is a secret sinner. Now in verse 20 it says, Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoers. A lot could be said. God will not cast away the perfect man. But the problem is, there are none righteous, no, not one. We all need a Savior, and He's provided the Savior by simply trusting that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. You'll have eternal life. Job knew in chapter 19 that he would see his Redeemer. Though the death, burial, and resurrection was not known, Job knew he was a sinner, and he knew God would provide a way out. His righteousness was exactly what his imputed righteousness was exactly what God said. Just like the book of Psalms in, just like the book of Ecclesiastes in, just like the book of Proverbs in, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. What God gave Job to do, Job did, and it was imputed him for righteousness. His sins were taken away at the cross, but he did not know that. Now, it says, Behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evil doer, till he fill thy mouth with laughing and thy lips with rejoicing. They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught. So he's talking about traditions in verse 11 through 19. You know, this plant is nourished by moisture. It flourishes but for a day, just like the evil. Even Paul says it's good for a season, evil, but then it stinks like everything else. You know, the hypocrite's hope laid up in something that feels good, and then the sun comes up, like it says in verse 16, and it's an encircling wall, but it is torn from its place. Because what you're trusting in is not a solid rock. It's not the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ, Jesus. Okay, that's our brief study in the book of Job. And now we want to continue our study in Romans. Since I had such a late start, you'll have to forgive me. I've been up since 4 o'clock. And I'm running on one cylinder, but now the adrenaline's kicking in, and I feel a lot better than I did when I first logged onto the computer. And, you know, when you've had lack of sleep, you like to throw the stupid thing out the window. But now I'm back in the spirit and out of the flesh. Now, old man Matthew used to say, read Romans till Romans reads you. So, think about that for 1 minute, and then we'll start our study in about 1 minute. I have to do one thing.